The House Finance Committee to order. It is 10 till 10, 9:50 in the morning. Let the record reflect. At present this morning, we have Representative Moses, Williams, Phillips, myself, Mulder, Bundy, Foster, Osterman, Davies, Grusendorf, also joined by Representative Morgan. Appreciate the discussion yesterday and the number of departments we were able to move through. This morning, we will begin with Department of Transportation. Then move on to DEC, Natural Resources, Community Economic Development, Law, HESS, University, Legislature, Governor, and Language section. I anticipate that we're going to break at about noon. Hopefully, we're going to be able to get through DOT, DEC, and partway into DNR this morning. But it just will depend on some discussion, I'm sure, with DOT. Commissioner and Nancy, if you care to join us, I'm sure there are going to be many questions as we go along down DOT. Any issues to come before the committee before we begin this morning? If not, the First Amendment by Representative Osterman, DOT number one.
Approve amendment number one.
Object.
There is objection. Representative Osterman.
Amendment number one is a effort to reopen a maintenance station on the Kodiak road system that was closed last year, this fiscal year. The objective is to get it open enough so that we can at least have good maintenance out to the Kodiak rocket launch facility, which is a $40 million investment that's been made out there for economic development. Last year we had some real problems with ice buildup and no maintenance on the road. At times when they were trying to deliver fuel, for example, the fuel truck couldn't get out there on two different occasions because of the road conditions. So this is an effort to put $100,000 back into that maintenance station to get it opened again, and also to because it's a net zero amendment, it deletes the deputy commissioner position. And the remaining 19.5, I'm looking at putting in the public radio.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm inclined to agree that there should be money for the road that the representative is discussing. I indeed would like to see more money going to public broadcasting, but then I look at where the money is coming from, the deputy commissioner's position. I am not sure of exactly what the functions of that deputy commissioner is. Perhaps the commissioner could explain what that deputy commissioner does in his department.
Commissioner, was there discussion, and a second question while you're answering that, was there discussion last year about, with the budget allocations that you received, that you were going to close two maintenance stations, but that you did not anticipate closing the Kodiak maintenance station? Was that discussion that occurred last year? And if so, what happened in the meanwhile to change that?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Joe Perkins, Commissioner of DOT. The discussion that we had with the House last year was on about a 1.2 or 3, and I forgot the exact number, million-dollar cut to the DOT budget. And I don't remember exactly what we said, but I think we probably did say it was two maintenance stations. When our budget went to the Senate, we were given an unallocated cut of over $2 million more. Our total cut ended up $3.8 million rather than the 1.2 or 3 as discussed with the House. So the unallocated cut that was given to us in the Senate resulted in the closing of five maintenance stations rather than probably what I discussed with the House when we were talking about a $1.2 million cut.
Commissioner, but if I look at it, by the time you back in, we made some other adjustments at conference committee, and also with your adjusted base with some roads, it appears to me that the net reduction from FY99 actual to management plan is about a little over $1 million, $1.3 million or $1.2 million GF. I guess I'm not understanding.
Mr. Chairman, the way I figure this, and you know, you get into various ways of computing what the budget is. I figure it how much money I had this year in actual dollars in cash and how much money I have the next year. And the difference was $3.8 million. I had $3.8 million less. Now, $400,000 of that was due to a reclassification action of where a bunch of our folks were reclassified in a departmental and, or actually statewide, reclassification. And that cost me $400,000. The actual cut was around $3.3 million to our budget.
Nancy, can you explain? I'm just... Not being the commissioner, not being in your position, I don't understand. All I can see, look at her, you know, when I see management plan that says $100 million, and FY99 actual, it says $101 million, appears that there's about $1 million reduction.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Nancy Slagle, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The commissioner is correct in that there was about $400,000 that we needed to absorb somehow within our budget because of the labor trades and crafts done last year and implemented at 1st of July. He's also referring to a reduction that we had to absorb within our capital budget in our deferred maintenance areas. We're relying heavily on deferred maintenance appropriations in the capital budget to do the work that we need to do in maintaining our highways and airports and harbors. And so it was we took a substantial reduction in that area as well as in the operating. So commissioners looking at all of those, both the operating and the capital side yeah. together, as well as those costs that we had to absorb for the LTC study.
So, Commissioner or Nancy, are you saying that there are some operational costs that are more reflected in the capital budget than what's necessarily reflected in the operating budget?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. Each year, a decision was made by the legislature about 10 years ago, I guess, to take part of DOT's operational budget and put it under a deferred maintenance item in the capital budget. I include part of that as my cut because we use that money the same as we do the GF money. It's used to pay people. It's used to clean ditches and do things like that. So the cut I'm talking about was both capital and operational. We ended up with, not counting the reclass, about $3.4 million that we had the year before and we didn't have the next year. And if I remember correctly, the capital budget cut was about $1 million, wasn't it, Nancy? Somewhere in there.
I'm not sure. I think it was a little more than that.
And also, this committee, it was worse than that. It would have been a total of 4.2 cut, but you all restored at about 4 o'clock in the morning $400,000 to our budget last year on the capital side, if you will remember. And that is, again, that was in response to our request that you help us out on the unallocated cut given to us by the Senate.
The reclassification, it was done at whose request, Commissioner?
It was, Mr. Chairman, the reclassification was part of a labor negotiation that happened a couple of 3 years ago, that in the terms of the labor negotiations, it was agreed to take a look at some people that were working outside of their class. Department of Administration ran the reclass study. It not only included DOT people, but it included a bunch of people scattered around through other state agencies. And it was the normal reclass study that they run. And unfortunately for us, the reclassification was an increase in cost. It was offset in some other departments by people who got a decrease in cost. But we took the brunt of the burden with our heavy equipment operators and those type of folks.
Representative Davis?
I just wonder if we could have a legislative pay study.
Reclassification?
We've done that.
Too late for you, Representative Davis.
Well, I understand the real cost, Commissioner, but you know, for some of us, we find it frustrating because we thought we had done one thing, and I know Representative Austin is particularly frustrated because we thought we funded to a certain level last year, only to find out it didn't happen, and I share his frustration because when we're trying to pick up the pieces and figure out why it happened, it's not always logical. And I think perhaps it's we should begin reevaluate the notion of putting your deferred maintenance, quote-unquote, line of really operational expenses in the capital budget and put it back on budget in the operating budget. It seems to be a more appropriate location. I don't think anybody, when you make a reduction in the capital budget, you intend to have a capital budget reduction or project that doesn't happen, as opposed to having maintenance stations closed because of it.
Mr. Chairman, I share your frustration in that, because we get through this body and then we went to the other body and we lost more. And, of course, you immediately did not know what was going on. And the only time you get back to it is in the conference. But, the entire problem was in the other body as far as cutting the additional stations, because they gave us a sizable cut, totally unallocated.
Representative Davies or Representative Grusendorf's question in relation to the function of this particular deputy commissioner?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd first like to talk about who runs DOT, because nobody has even talked to us or asked us about any impact of cutting deputy commissioner's jobs or anybody else within DOT. We run an $800 million program. We do pretty good. We build in every one of your districts. We run the maintenance program, the ferries, and everything else, and we are currently doing this with 8 authorized slots in the commissioner's office. One of those slots is vacant and has been vacant. We use it for a vacancy factor. The subcommittee cut $100,000 before this amendment already out of the commissioner's office. The general funds in the commissioner's office is about $560,000 total. The $100,000 cut from the subcommittee is a 20% cut to the commissioner's office. Now, what I will do and what we've said on that cut is that we will not ever hire that special assistant. I'll do away with that special assistant. That's going to leave me myself, 2 deputies, 1 special assistant, and 2 clerical and 1 file person. And that's to run an $800 million budget and everything else that we do. Now, if we was to get this cut of this deputy commissioner, that gets us to about a 33% cut. That will leave myself, 1 deputy commissioner, 1 special assistant, and 3 clerical. And no company in this world would run an $800 million project with a staff like that. I have cut the commissioner's office, I think, every year for 6 years. We started out, it wasn't long ago, that we had 6 deputy commissioners. A little before my time in DOT. Now, what does this deputy commissioner do? Number one, he's responsible for monitoring all the maintenance. He's also responsible for monitoring all of the construction in DOT. He is the claims officer. Every one of these claims, of which you don't see them unless somebody complains to you, has to go through hearing officers, contracting officer decisions, and all of that. He does all of that. He also runs all the rural airports. So he is a very valuable person to me, and if I lose that slot, again, there's going to be 3 management people left in DOT. And I think we're down to the point that we're as thin as you can ever get on managing the department, and I'll put us up against any organization around that runs an $800 million program with 6 people.
Representative Williams?
Yeah. I appreciate where you're coming from, Commissioner, and I believe what you say, and I think we should discuss these issues and go along with what we all agree to. There are some cuts that you said in your Department of Transportation Public Impact Statement. There are things that the subcommittee did not recommend, and things that we agreed to in subcommittee with Kurt and Nancy there, and it changed with your impact statement. So I think, you know, we should talk about these issues before we get to this area. It works both ways. I would appreciate, you know, you're talking, if, you know, when we came up with these suggested reductions, we asked your office to recommend some areas and come up with $1.1 million, and your office came up with $2 million or thereabouts, and we selected from that list, and the subcommittee agreed to it. And I see things on this impact statement that we did not agree to. So I think, you know, the communication works both ways.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Osterman.
Yeah. Mr. Commissioner, in all due respect, I understand you, what you just said, and I understand your frustration as well. But on the other hand, when you closed that maintenance station in Kodiak, there was no discussion with me about the fact that it was going to be to close, or that you were looking at closing it. You would call one day and said, okay, we've closed it. I mean, so let's as Representative Williams says, let's both get on the same wavelength there.
Commissioner, is the Kodiak station closed at this point in time?
Mr. Chairman, the Kodiak station is closed. What we do is we have a sand pile there, and we have a loader there, so we don't have to drive all the way back to Kodiak to get sand, and that's part of our plan for the service that we provide out there. There is minimal heat in the facility just to keep the loader warm. There are no people assigned to this station at this time.
But are there people, Representative Osterman, who still reside there?
There is somebody that lives in a trailer there. I think it was the original guy that worked there, Bill Lewis. He still has his trailer there, still lives there. Still, I don't know whether he pays the state rent or not for living there. Both the employees that were on staff at the time that the station was closed were moved into Kodiak. There was no reduction in labor force, so it was just a matter of closing the station for some reason.
Mr. Chairman, the savings we have is that we don't have the overhead that we had because we've turned off most of the lights. We've got nothing but minimal heat, and as soon as we use the sand pile up, we'll have nothing. The savings that you get in these, and I recognize what Representative Williams says, because we basically took his numbers and basically refined them. Now, the cuts that we talked about with the committee wants us basically, or the subcommittee wants us to go in and cut people out of existing stations and close any. I've got stations with two people in them now. If I cut one person, I got one person left in the station, and I can't do that for safety and for various other reasons. So, in my opinion, if I'm going to cut, I need to get the overhead, too. I need to get the fixed costs. I need to get the costs of utilities, the costs, in some cases, of running generators and things like this, and recoup those. I'm to the stage that I don't have enough people to do this job. And I'm going to have to concentrate my people in efficient, sizable enough groups that we can do something. Again, one person can't do anything in a maintenance station, and for safety's sake, I wouldn't assign him there anyway. So the difference maybe Representative Williams and I have, rather than cutting six or eight people out of maintenance stations, I'm going to close two this year, Willow and Chetna. I gain the fixed costs of closing those. In neither case do I need to lay people off, because I'm able to transfer the people. I do get rid of some equipment, but I save the fixed costs. Fixed costs is what's killing DOT. As our budget goes down, our electric bill goes up. And I'm paying more electric bills this year than I did last year or the year before. So we are in the process of attacking fixed costs.
Representative Williams and then Kruzendorf.
I agree with you in the safety issues, Commissioner, and you know we went through this in Ketchikan. Out of Ketchikan, we cut one position out of three, so we have two positions in Ketchikan today. I don't know how it operates. The four positions that we recommended out of the MATSU are I think there's approximately 23 maintenance people left in the MATSU, and again, you know, I think, Commissioner, that if maybe you attended the closeout, maybe we would have heard the different story. But we talked with your office for 2 weeks, trying to come up with these reductions, and I thought that we had agreed to these reductions and tried to do what was good for the department. And I understand, you know, that you don't want to see any reductions, and I don't want to see any reductions either that will hurt the maintenance states. But if we're going to have to meet, if we're going to have to come in with a reduction, then let's work on it together. And that's what I tried to do with your department. I asked your office several times, and we discussed it. And what can we do that will least harm the department? And your office came up with this laundry list. And whether, you know, whether we, I don't know if they passed it by you, Commissioner, but I know that your office came up with this laundry list, and we tried to select from that laundry list.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe we're that far off. What the subcommittee did, for instance, in Central Region Highways and Aviation, they cut $440,000. They talk about reduce Anchorage snow haul contracts by $100,000. We did that. That is in here. Delete $260,000 and 4 full-time positions for M&O stations in Mat-Su. We did that. We're closing Willow. We are also, we had to go further because we feel the cut is bigger than this because there are some other things that we feel are certainly germane to this. We cut a position out of Anchorage Station. So I think what we did was to take what the subcommittee had in broad numbers, and instead of reducing 4 positions out in Mat-Su, I closed the maintenance station. Now, we're not going to get rid of all those 4 positions because Willow Maintenance Station will save us enough money to basically make that cut. So, yes, in that regard, I did change it. But this is something that required hours and hours of work to decide where we're going to cut in the whole thing. The other thing, like Northern Aviation, Northern Region Highways and Aviation, we have gone now 2 years or 3 years without a reduction on the aviation side. In fact, 2 years ago, I moved $1 million out of highway, and you all approved it, into aviation. We can't do that anymore. Aviation's got to take some cuts. So we selected airports that are not used very much, particularly in the wintertime. We will maintain them in the summer. And we're going to stop maintenance on those airports. Now, that is not something that was totally discussed with the committee, but the subcommittee still assigned a dollar value of cuts. Now, one of the cuts was to eliminate a full-time position in M&O on the Dalton Highway. I can't do that. It's not safe for me to do that in the wintertime. For those of you who've been on the Dalton Highway in the wintertime, that is a tough area. And I don't feel, when I look at all the maintenance stations, that I can touch the Dalton Highway. So we're not making that cut. So I think what we did was stay within the general rules of the dollar set by the subcommittee. We just went on. Now, one thing I will comment on, there is $220,000 being added to the maintenance budget on the other side or on the facility side for me to maintain Harborview facility in Valdez, of which I get nothing for. And I'm closing maintenance stations and laying off maintenance personnel while I'm spending $220,000 on Harborview. I've asked you in my response to change that. Let's close Harborview and let's keep me from making the cuts, another $220,000 in cuts, $220,000 in cuts. Those are some of the type of things that we talked about.
Commissioner, and partially, I'm very sympathetic with what you're saying with Harborview. We visited with the people from the city folks, the administration from Valdez, saying, you know, from our viewpoint, this is it. You know, you've been working on trying to transition Harborview into something else. This is the last year. Make the transition. You know, do something. But we're not going to continue to augment that budget. I share the frustration. I think we all do. We're trying to help a community which lost a component of its economy. And it's a frustrating situation for all of us. I know, especially for you. Representative Williams, then Grisdorf.
I follow up. This was a very difficult department to talk about reduction, as it was last year. But for whatever reason that we came up with, you know, again, a lot of this discussion that we're having here today should have been taken care of in the subcommittee. And Commissioner, it wasn't like I didn't sit there and try not to listen to you. This is the first time I've seen you. You know, we talk about the Northern Region Highways and Aviation. We recommended $100,000 from Dalton Highway. It has $2.7 million in it. Last year we decreased it, I think, by seven. No, we didn't decrease it last year. When you talk about closing a maintenance station, we realize a 40% savings. And when you move somebody, because you're not laying them off, you're moving them, we take away something, we save $65,000. You know, so I don't quite understand. Again, like I said, this is a type of discussion we should have had in the subcommittee and during our times when we came up with this plan.
Representative Grisendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess this would also go to the chairman of the subcommittee on transportation, that I imagine the commissioner can make statements and comments to you and your committee and say this is what he would like to do. But at the same time, in the budgetary process, when we have another group on the other side also working on the budget, and those two budgets crash together, then some of the things that the commissioner, I imagine, would like to do in the original ultimately changes, because maybe there's an element of what we call unallocated cuts. Now, the Kodiak maintenance station, I see there's probably some economic activity there. I don't know about the okay number of people that live along that road. The commissioner probably gets in the position of analyzing, okay, I have these maintenance stations. How many people are here? What type of economic activity occurs there? Is there another way? Is there another agency that can, you know, assist in this? And has to make some decisions. And even if we should today decide to put this money into the Kodiak maintenance station, and then we see what happens on the other side, then all of a sudden there's a big unallocated cut that occurs, the commissioner's right back with these decisions again. And I'm willing to support the representative from Kodiak on achieving that maintenance station being opened. But then when we do that, what other areas does the commissioner have to go to and start making decisions? I think it's not in our best interest to use the deputy commissioner's office as a funding source for that, because it's very obvious dealing with aviation and other areas and the contracts and I guess there were some that, you know, I don't think the amendment is the type of amendment that I can support because of where the money is coming from. But how can we guarantee that the commissioner may then say, go to the Senate now, and he's got strong wordings from this group here that this station has to be open, go in the other body, bam, whatever conference committee comes out, still decisions are going to have to be made. Okay, does another station be closed that might service more people or more economic activity? I understand the problem that the commissioner has, and I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'm saying, how can we address this maintenance station without using the funding source that we're using here?
If I might interject, Representative Davies, real quick. Commissioner, how much did you anticipate saving by closing the maintenance station in Kodiak?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not. Do you know that number offhand, Nancy?
I believe it's about $100,000.
$100,000, somewhere around $100,000. But, you know, we looked at five maintenance stations, and we're singling one out here. But let's take the North Kenai maintenance station. That handles all of the people from Nikiski and all of that. Now, we closed that because we could get to it from Soldotna. we close Cowson Bay because we do have the ability to get to it from Kodiak. Trims is a very important maintenance area. I don't want to close any of these. Trims is sitting on the Richardson Highway, which is one of the major routes in this state of commerce. And all through the Black Rapids area, and that area, for those of you who drive it, is nothing but drifts and all of this in the winter. We're serving it from the two adjacent maintenance stations. The folks up in Fairbanks aren't happy about closing Birch Lake at all, because that's right outside of Fairbanks, and that occupied an awful important area. The people this year are not going to be happy about Willow, which is on the Parks Highway, which is the main road between Fairbanks and Anchorage. Chetna, which we're going to close this year, takes care of the Edgerton Highway and all those folks down around Kenny Lake and Chetna. I don't like any of this, but in our priorities, these are the ones that should go. And so to address one of them individually, I can tell you right now, if I was to open one, Cowson Bay is probably not the one I would open in the way we listed the priorities for maintenance stations.
Commissioner, my understanding is Cowson Bay is very important in relation to the rocket launch. Is that correct, Representative Osterman? How are we dealing with, and that's a pretty important function in relation to economic expansion for the state and economic opportunities for Kodiak as well. How are they dealing with it right now in terms of maintaining the road?
Mr. Chairman, we are maintaining that road out of the maintenance station in Kodiak. It is not without maintenance. The service level is less than it was before, but the service level in the Kiski is less than it was before. The service level in Delta Junction in that area is less. When you take one of these maintenance stations out, you are reducing the service level. We are not stopping maintenance. We still have people committed to keeping that road open in the wintertime, and we'll keep it graded in the summer. But it's not going to get as much grading, and it's not going to get as much opening as it was. But we have not stopped maintenance on that highway, just like we haven't stopped maintenance on the Nikiski area roads.
And Representative Osterman, so I can better understand, the reaction within Kodiak is the feeling that the maintenance level is totally insufficient in relation to dealing with the launch facility?
At this time, yes, that is what we're maintaining. That there was at least twice last year in the wintertime that road, fuel trucks were not able to get to the rocket launch facility. This year, the one rocket launch that we have set for September has been slid back to March or something like that. If we're going to go into another winter with limited maintenance on that road system, we've got four launches next year. And I cannot, in good conscience, sit back and wait till next year to try to solve the problem that needs to be solved this year.
Okay.
And all due respect, there's another place to take $100,000, that's fine. Senator Bushendorf has indicated. My indications are, from my people in the constituents in Kodiak that use that road and the industry that's using that road out there, if it has to be, if you have to find money, let's take some money out of the top and let's put it down the bottom. Let's take it out of the bureaucrat level and let's put it down on the road grader offer level. That's what we want to do.
Representative Davies?
Well, these are sort of, there's this whole set of wide-ranging interlocking issues here, but I think the fundamental thing that we're running up against is, when there comes a point when we keep reducing these budgets, when service is going to fall off, and that's what we're dealing with. And we're sending the tough message out to the commissioner and his folks. We're sitting back here, we cut the budget, and he's the one that's got to go out and figure out where, whose road doesn't get maintained. Now, unless we want to sit here and make that decision and go down every single road in the state of Alaska and prioritize it from this point of view and say, here's the priority list, then I don't think it's fair to Monday morning back the quarter, do the Monday morning quarterbacking on the commissioner, when he's got the tough job. I mean, we make some tough calls in terms of, saying, here's the budget level, but that pales in comparison to the job that the commissioner's got to do, literally where the rubber meets the road. He goes out there and he says, okay, here's how much money I got. Here's the best, I think the commissioner should be commended. I mean, he's gone out and with budgets that have gone down, 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 down. He has done his best job to provide a reasonable level of maintenance around the entire state, and he's taking into account things like economic development. And you know, when you look at the Dalton Highway, I mean, with all due respect, I mean, I support the Kodiak rocket launch facility, but it, you know, right now today, it doesn't bring dollars into the state the way the oil industry does, and the oil industry relies on that road going up to the North Slope. Now, you just simply can't maintain that that's not an important issue for the economics of the state of Alaska. That's a very important road. But, you know, I don't want to get into the details. I mean, we could have an argument here for several weeks about which road is more important. I mean, and the commissioner's folks have spent weeks on that issue. The point I'm making is, what we're doing here is we're saying, you know, we cut the budget, you made a decision, services went down, and now the people aren't happy. Well, no kidding. What'd you expect? You know? Some of us, one of them who's not here right now, keeps saying, well, we got to keep cutting the budget until people start complaining. Well, they're starting to complain. Maybe it's time to quit cutting the budget. I get pretty impatient with these kind of discussions where everybody, you know, every little tiny time that there's some actual reduction in services, we come back and we complain at the commissioner and say, you know, heck, we don't want to take that cut. Well, what cut did you want to take? You know, let's lay it out sometime. Let me just finish. You know, I think that we've gone beyond the place where we can do it. Let's get back to this amendment in specific. You know, I mean, how the heck can you expect good management with three senior level managers? Now, you know, I object to the pejorative term bureaucrat here. I object to that. These are dedicated people. They're employees of the state of Alaska. And to say that, you know, we don't need people to do the management. There's no private sector company that runs that kind of a management system. Management is a responsible thing. It's accountability. When we give these guys a big pot of money, we expect them to spend that money wisely. And they can't do that if they don't have the right people in the right management positions to do that. Now, in this particular case, I think we've gone way beyond. I mean, an $800 million operation, and you're expecting to have three top-level managers to run that? That's just ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. And, you know, I'm getting real tired of then, when we make those kinds of policy decisions, blaming that on the guys that are trying to implement it. These guys are working their tails off. They're working extra hours. They're out there every day trying to figure out how the heck to make this thing work. And then we come in here and we browbeat them. Now, I just think it's not fair. I think it's not fair. Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman, I move to divide the question. And the way I would divide it is to decide the delete. Well, I'm going to divide it three ways. Decide the delete and the two adds separately.
Clearly, the amendment is divisible. So it'll be 1A, B, and C. Actually, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that because we have 1A behind it. Let's see.
E and F.
What's the best way of dividing them?
Well, we could maybe change 1A to 1A.
Right, and so we will do that. So we will call the delete portion.
1.3.
That's true.
Okay.
1.1.
We'll do delete as 1.1. The add with the central region is 1.2. And the public radio is 1.3. In partial response, Representative Davies, and I know there's more discussion, I'm not disagreeing with you. About Monday morning quarterbacking. I think that what frustration you're hearing from Representative Osterman and Representative Williams and also Representative Morgan, all of whom have worked with this component over time, they thought they understood what the reductions meant. And they thought, you know, and they were prepared to take the heat on those type of reductions. But when suddenly the discussion or focus came back that no, the reductions weren't in the area they were anticipating, that's where the frustration built up. And that's where the Monday morning quarterbacking comes in. That, well,
as Representative Williams said, we had a laundry list, and we picked out a laundry list of things that we were prepared to take the heat on. You bet. So we wanted reductions, and we were prepared to take the heat on. But when the impact statements came out, they were substantially different than what the list that the subcommittee selected. And there was some misunderstanding why did that occur, and some frustration. On Representative Osterman's part, particularly, I think there was a real frustration about just the lack of communication and the willingness to come and sit with not only him but his constituents and talk about, well, here's how the whole picture fits together and how your component within the big picture fits together. And this is what we hope to achieve by this. And I think that's Representative Rosterman's frustration, because he was not aware nor knowing that this was going to happen after the action we took last session. And the surprise factor, as with, you know, Commissioner Perkins or one of us, is the bigger factor. I mean, if you're prepared to deal with it, I mean, if you know it's going to happen, you're prepared to deal with it. If it's a surprise, it makes it much more difficult to look at your constituent and say, I can't explain to you why it happened. I didn't vote for it to happen, but it happened. And that's when it gets frustrating. So I want to just bounce around to a couple more people who have their
minds. Quickly to that, on that point. I mean, this is slightly facetious, but it also makes a certain point. I mean, you're talking about them going there and having a public meeting and explaining this kind of stuff. You know, which deputy commissioner and with what travel money did you expect that to happen?
Representative Morgan, and then Davis, and then Williams, and Foster.
Thank you. Let me allow to say something. The frustration I've got, I'm frustrated. Very frustrated. And when I see these impact statements this Friday, Saturday, and it heavily impacts me, heavily one-sided on my district, closing down runways and airports, heavily on the bush, heavily on my district. Now, if anybody should be frustrated about this process, it'd be me, especially after my senator come up and ask me, hey, what's going on here? What did you recommend? I says, wait a minute. That's not my impact statement. That's the department's and administration's impact statement. Then she went down, go down, have a meeting, and come back and later, all the tell me to go solve it. It's part of my problem. All these cuts that they directly talk about impacts me directly. It's all one-sided. I'm very frustrated. And I don't know why it's all on me. I'm in all on District 36. There's about 8. Yes, if you look at that impact statement, those are from my district. And when you do cut and take them out of my district, we're hurt immediately.